All right, Galatians chapter 4. As we continue on here, the Apostle Paul was given a comparison, not only using Mount Sinai as an example, he compared to that which is presently the Holy City, New Jerusalem, okay, and the city Jerusalem which is on earth. Okay, the Apostle Paul is making distinctions here, showing us the different powers and the different mindsets and the different tetherings as concerning the tethering was just at the throne of God, which is Mount Zion, S-I-O-N, which is in heaven, the seventh heaven, okay, and that which is also Mount Sinai in Arabia and Jerusalem on earth, okay, which is tethered to carnal things and earthly things. And the Apostle Paul making distinctions here for the Galatians, showing them the fruitlessness, okay, of the moral code, okay, with the precept. Okay, the God code plus the precept equals death, but the God code plus faith equals life. Those things which are above and the eternal. Okay, so then we know that those things which are on earth was temporal and only hold portions of debt within them. But that which is above, okay, the Holy City, New Jerusalem, being in the bosom of our Father, okay, possesses all things for fulfillment and completion for our faith here now, okay, and also with that which shall be taking place in the near future. Again, the Apostle Paul is bringing to our attention concerning the effects, okay, of the prophecy, which the Spirit is initiating, okay, and completing. Okay, but we can see also the ripple, the wave, and a tsunami, okay, which we talked about last time. Okay, every prophecy which is given by the Spirit is eternal in its value. Okay, and we can see its fulfillment, okay, unfolded with the events and lives of those of the patriarchs, okay, of that old covenant, those first covenants which God gave. Okay, that the flesh cannot carry through the perpetualness of those things which are temporal until Christ came to fulfill all things within himself. So that when the Lord speaks of those things of that covenant, of that first covenant, okay, which is temporal, the Lord used and selected certain words, okay, being spoken by the Spirit. He says that you shall observe these things forever, okay, as concerning the priesthood of Aaron and all things that God assigned to those things, okay, being the pattern which is yet to come. Okay, that those things which he said to, okay, the priesthood of Aaron, okay, were assigned to be perpetual. But how could they be perpetual, seeing that the flesh had death assigned to it? Well, God would have to come in the form of the flesh to remove that power. Okay, and now, if he removed that power of the flesh and himself, being going to the cross, being smitten on the face, okay, and his image and visage was marred more than any man's, to remove that power and visage and image of death, okay, he rose from the dead. So that Jesus carried all those things which he prophesied, okay, through the events and people, the patriarchs of that first covenant, will now be fulfilled in himself. Okay, that which was in portion now enters into the fullness, the wholesomeness, okay, or that which is more excellent, okay, which the Apostle Paul brings out. So we see in Galatians chapter 4, okay, and around verse 26, as we jump right in here, he says here, but Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. Now this is really interesting. Why would the Apostle Paul be emphasizing and expounding upon this one point, okay, of another dimension, okay, and of also the hope of our promise? Okay, and here he says the mother of us all. Okay, again, he's removing it from that which is of the flesh, which is temporal, okay, and placing that which is in the value of the eternal. Because that which is temporal perishes, but that which is eternal, of course, lives forever. Okay, so he says here concerning Jerusalem, okay, the mother of us all, because it carries the blessing, okay, of that which was the annunciation to the Virgin Mary. He carries the blessing of Mary to completion. Okay, that the holy city, okay, is that reality of that which is first spoken to, okay, and spoken of by the angel Gabriel in his annunciation to the Virgin Mary. Okay, so here we can see that there's going to be a perpetualness of this. Again, the ripple, the wave, and the tsunami. The tsunami, again, being we entering into the fullness. Okay, not the desolation, but the reconstruction. Okay, and not the image, okay, or the shadow of it, but the very image and reality of that prophecy. We can also see these things unfolded, in the book of Revelation. But the Apostle Paul was building upon that revelation which the Apostle John received. The Apostle John was a chief elder. And being a chief elder, he received this particular revelation, being caught up into the third heaven or seventh heaven, and upon seeing these things. So we also see that in Revelation 21, 9 and 10. So if you want to put a marker right here in Galatians, you can jump over to Revelation chapter 21. And we're going to look at that scripture here just for a moment, as we jump around here. To help us to have a more full understanding, of what it means a promise. Now when the Spirit speaks of promise, he's talking about it's concerning the present tethering of the oath of the Lord. But when those which are severed from the oath of the Lord speak of promise, they're talking about a re-engagement. And when they speak of the re-engagement, they're talking about a severing of sin. So all the promises that other system speak of, has to do with seeking to for the engagement. But we which are the children of promise, speak of those things which are perpetual. Perpetual, which was here, of course, now in Revelation 21, it reads this as the Lord, as the Spirit of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, is bringing this to the attention of the Apostle John. First of all, he says there should be no more death. And we see that in verse 8, which it talks about the second death, which has to do with those which have severed themselves by the choices of the moral code from the oath of the Lord, which is a faith. Now, he that overcomes shall inherit all things. We see that in verse 7. But then in comparison, what about those which don't drink of this water of life? What about those which are not engaged in the oath of faith? The oath of faith which carries with it all the promises of the overcomers. Then in verse 9 he says, and then there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come here, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now again, the Lord assigned a particular gender to this, to the city, for this one purpose, and as for fulfilling those things which were spoken on the Annunciation. And of course, now Paul is making the connection here for us in Galatians as what the Apostle John is receiving in the seventh heaven. So here, upon saying these things, you're going to see something very marvelous, he says, as these two powers unite in one. The flesh being that which was assigned the curse of death, no longer exists in those of faith, and that he's uniting these two kingdoms together in one. Now the sign of the Virgin Mary is seen in how, or in this bride. You've seen this bride. So the communication that was pronounced to her is perpetual or eternal or forever, being said over her, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. So we see three things which are brought out, even in the Gospel of Luke. He brings it out in Luke chapter 1, where he says, blessed is she that believes, blessed is the fruit, and blessed are be above all women. Because there was a particular sign that was assigned to her concerning the perpetualness of this. Well, let me read the rest of Revelation here, and we'll go and we'll do some work on this. Now he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, being the mountain of the Lord. And here the angel of the Lord from this position allowed me to view these things. So he showed me that great city. Now this is the same thing that Abraham saw, and when Moses went up to the top of the mount that he saw, and also when Jesus went to the top of the mount. But when Jesus went to the top of the mount during the times of his temptations, he didn't see the holy city of New Jerusalem, but he saw the counterstructure of Satan's kingdoms and 13 princes. And Satan was offering Jesus an option. He was offering him the option. He says, instead of going through your sufferings or trying to bring about earth renewal by your presence, I will give you these things if you just fall down and worship me. And of course Jesus saw he wasn't viewing the holy city, but he was viewing the counterfeit holy city. And this of course was within the first heaven. And this was constructed of course by Satan. okay, as an image of that which he was cast out of. He was still trying to maintain the memorial and his perspective, okay, of that which he lost, which he was severed from. And same thing with the children of death today. They still try to maintain a memorial of that which is lost, and so they pursue after the taste of it. Okay, but we, being children of light, okay, are ingesting the fullness of that right now. And then, of course, the completion of this, okay, when we enter into the reality of this eternal inheritance. Okay, that's why those which are pursuing, okay, the things which are of the taste, okay, will never partake of the reality. Okay, and of course, the Apostle Paul brings out in Hebrews. Okay, so here he says, and he showed me that great city. Okay, but being this is a city of the true vine, okay, not the vine that was cursed, but the vine that was blessed. Okay, Jesus being the vine, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Being the great city, the holy Jerusalem, okay, and Esau, okay, this was which with the Apostle Paul called the mother of us all, the holy city, New Jerusalem, okay, is also a prototype of, okay, an image of Eve, being the mother of all, being the mother of all, Eve, and also the Virgin Mary, descending out of heaven from God. Now, what's interesting is that the symbolisms of the holy city is also seen in Genesis, okay, when God caused a sleep to fall upon Adam. Now, Adam never would have ever fell asleep because he was in the image of God's light at this point in time, and the trance of death had not been assigned to him as yet until he came out of that light. Then a trance of death, being that eighth spirit, okay, spoken of in the patriarchs, they understood that God had to assign death to the flesh because he put a curse upon it, and that the flesh will not be forever. That it had a restriction of its expression, and the power of the sovereignty of the God code in this dimension until Christ would come to remove its power by his death and resurrection. Okay? But here, what's interesting is that when God caused the sleep to fall upon Adam, he removed from his side, okay, a portion of himself, whereas he created a woman, Eve. Okay, so we see that God created a breach. Okay, when he put sleep upon Adam, but this was sanctified. Okay, and then of course the other sleep was then unsanctified. Okay, but the sanctified sleep had to do with he created a breach, and then he brought a bridge. Okay, he created a breach, but he brought a bridge. But when he provided the bridge, okay, this bridge was going to provide a point of contact in union to increase and build, which is also the holy city. That's why Paul assigned it as the mother of us all. Okay, because it's in this, and it's in the womb of the holy city, New Jerusalem, whereas a new beginning, okay, of God's program begins. Okay, and this new beginning is our assigned origin. Okay, it's our assigned origin, and this new beginning is also our assigned destiny, the Alpha and Omega, okay, in the holy city, New Jerusalem. So here we can see the symbolism of it in Genesis. And okay, and also another symbolism of this, okay, in the Annunciation of the Virgin Mary, okay, that she was going to be assigned as being a symbol, okay, of that which is yet, okay, to come, a symbol of that which is yet to come. All right, and then we go also over to Luke chapter 1. Okay, so if you want to just jump over there for a moment, Luke chapter 1 around verse 28. Okay, we're going to see another thing that the Apostle Paul is expounding on. Okay, the Apostle Paul is not pulling this out of thin air. Okay, he's expounding to the Galatians. Okay, in this, showing them the comparison. Why is it that you're trying to improve, okay, the spiritual things with earthly things, okay, when God has put all the promise within Himself? Okay, but here we can see that the Spirit is making this revelation known. Okay, in chapter Luke 1:28, he says, "Hail, you are the highly favored of the Lord. Okay, highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Okay, what's interesting about this prophecy, okay, but the Spirit is already laying the tracks for fulfillment. When I say laying the tracks, it's like putting railroad tracks down. Okay, before the train can get to its destiny, there has to be first a foundation laid for it to get from point A to point B. Okay, and those tracks, okay, has to do with the prophecies of the Spirit. Okay, now the tracks have already been laid in the kingdom of God, in heaven. Okay, the tracks have already been laid for fulfillment of all things. Okay, and the locomotive, okay, the engine on that track, you see, is rapidly approaching to the completion of the ages. Okay, now these prophecies are being carried, okay, from point A to the origin, okay, in the beginning in the bosom of our Father, okay, to the very end, okay, point B, the Omega, okay, our destiny in the bosom of our Father, okay, whereas the holy city is located. Okay, so he says, blessed are you among women. Now, not only is this being assigned to this particular person at this time, but again, the prophecy, okay, has a perpetual fulfillment. Okay, and so we go on here that what you bear in you, okay, in your womb is called the Son of God. And that's the same thing in the Holy City, New Jerusalem. We see this in Revelation 21. Okay, and we see that the Holy City has no need for a temple, for the Lord God Almighty, okay, he is the temple itself, and he is the assigned throne. Okay, there's a throne there, and that's God himself, the intensity of that light. Okay, the intensity of wisdom. Okay, the oath of the Lord resides there. Okay, the heartbeat of all creation. Okay, which we're tethered to. Okay, and this is what Jesus was preaching to his apostles concerning the heartbeat of that oath, which he is. All things are tethered to. Okay, so that when Adam, okay, who being severed from that light, beholds this tethering, he marvels at these things. Because how is it that you, being a man, you know, could walk on water, or can multiply bread, or can raise the dead, they give sight to the blind and cleanse the lepers. Okay, how can you, being a man, do these things? Okay, and of course Jesus making references to himself. Okay, he even said, "Now with men it's impossible, but with God all things are possible." We can see the same thing the angel said here. Okay, the tethering of this oath is in me. Nay, I'm an extension, being a hand of the Lord. I am the arm of his might, okay, and I am the creator. I formed all things in the beginning. I am the hand of the Lord. Okay, I am the hand of the Lord. Okay, and all things that are done down here is merely, a response of my finger. It's an attachment of myself. Okay, so when you look at your finger as being an attachment of yourself, you have absolute powers concerning its direction and the use of the finger. Okay, so casting out devils by the finger of God is merely an extension of the oath in me. That's what Jesus was saying. And we who bear the name of God in our temples now, okay, and also have the secrets of the Lord revealed in our hearts, being the mystery of Christ unfolding itself, okay, we also are as fingers of the Lord. Okay, or as the scriptures say, and I saw in his hand seven horns, okay, which have the seven spirits of God. Okay, remember, we see that in the book of Revelation. All portions are put within his fullness. Okay, and all portions are being expressed at this period of time through us, being called sons of God. Okay, as the Apostle John, writing his epistle, was reflecting upon these revelations, which he received in the book of Revelation, which he wrote the book of Revelation. And I saw a lamb come out from the midst of the throne, okay, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are seven spirits of God. He possessed all the portions within himself, which we now have an assigned portion within us, called the seal of the Spirit, okay, a token of the down payment of that which is yet to be revealed. Okay, now we see that which is announced over the Virgin Mary, okay, was a portion of this prophecy. Okay, and it's also revealed by the angel, verse 31, "Behold, you shall conceive in your womb, okay, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Okay, the fullness of all portions are coming forth within you. He is the oath of the Lord. He carries all authority and power because he's God's vow towards us. Okay, as scripture says, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Okay, I mean, concerning his oath, he cannot change because this is who he is. Okay, the God code exists within him, okay, and he breathed all life, okay, and the breath of life in all his creation, okay, to carry portions of this. And that also Adam, by studying these things, could see also, okay, the portions of God in these things concerning the equity of all nature. Not to be worshipped, but nature carries the message of the God code in it, okay, and teaches us concerning our Creator, okay, which gospel we have being presented to us today, okay, even in words which we can understand here. Okay, so he says, and shall call his name Jesus. Now he should be great. He should be called the Son of the Highest, because he's the prototype of our existence. The Highest. There's none. He is the superior of all creation. Okay, which is God Himself. And the Lord God, being the Spirit, shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Okay, now we see this throne fulfilled in the holy city, New Jerusalem, which Paul assigned the mother of us all. Okay, all right, and also the Apostle John described her as a living entity, and it is a living entity. Okay, the walls of the house of God will continually expand throughout eternity, okay? Just like that of a womb. The womb continually grows with the passage of time until the time of its fullness, 9 months later. Now, it's interesting about the number 9, okay, which the Lord has given to it. That's why the number 9 is an assigned numbers of 8 and 1, which talked about the eternal week, okay, the eternal week and the first week, okay, as the first millennium and the eternal millennium. It's interesting in that when you put these two together, okay, in its fulfillment, that God assigned that symbolism, okay, for the bearing of life in the womb. Now, and then he goes on in verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob, which is according to the flesh. But then he assigns an interesting word here. He says, forever. Well, how can the flesh live forever, seeing that death has been joined to it? But that's because Jesus removed the power of death, and there should be no more curse. We see that in Revelation. There shall be no more curse, but death and hell should be cast in lake of fire, which means its presence has now been exhausted. Okay, and seeing that his presence has been exhausted, okay, he's going to be thrown in the lake of fire, which is really the city dump. Nay, outside the city. The city dump is located outside the city. Okay, it's a dimension called outer darkness. Okay, Jesus taught us these things, okay, when he was on earth, okay, concerning where the worm dieth not. Okay, where the worm dieth not, and which has to do, okay, the carrying the conscience and its convictions, death will now be fruitful only in that, okay, in that dimension, okay, bringing conviction, okay, and frustration to the God code and the sinners, okay, this God code of the sinners is looped from death to death, okay, and it's a place of outer darkness, a sealed dimension called the city dump. Okay, never, which of course nobody has the key to that but God Himself. Okay, and no one can enter into that. It's a place of incarceration where all criminals are incarcerated, okay, with, you could say, an eternal decree placed upon them, eternal suffering. The God code being frustrated never come to completion and is looped from death to death. Okay, and the flames of hell will continually be, okay, consuming the conscience. Okay, as a soul continues to present to the conscience every deviation, okay, from the gospel of His grace, all right, should be judged according to those things. Well, let's go back to verse 32 here, and we're going to move on in Galatians. Okay, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, which could be fulfilled in the holy city, New Jerusalem. Okay, and of his kingdom there should be no end, which goes all the way to the third covenant. Now here, the angel, which just came from the throne of God into this dimension, okay, from the seventh heaven to the first heaven, so we see the number 7, and then the number 1. 7 and 1 is 8. Okay, and 7 and 1 being 8, it is perpetual, or forever. Right here, we see the rippling effect. This is the ripple right now. Now the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Okay, and that's why we come also under the wings of the Most High. Okay, and also Enoch, when he was taken into seventh heaven, he also saw the place of his destiny. It says that his heart desired that portion, okay, which has been prepared for all those that love God. All those that reciprocate in kind have their portion within him, okay, which is the 7 and 7, okay, the 7 spirits of God. Okay, the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, also that holy thing, therefore also, which means in conclusion, okay, as a parallel, okay, the holy thing which is born in you should be called the Son of God. Okay, we also can see that the Elizabeth also prophesied, okay, and confirmed these things. Blessed are you among women, she says in verse 42. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, because it is the eternal seed, which will be engrafted into all those that believe, okay, for our salvation to come to completion. Okay, and then Mary responds to that, which Elizabeth prophesied in verse 46, "My soul does magnify the Lord," which means the things which have spoken far exceed that of the imagination. Okay, and then, and of course he goes on here, which is interesting, she says, "All generations shall call me blessed." Verse 48, so you might want to highlight that. "In this sign, all generations shall call me blessed." Okay, not only the daughters of the flesh, but the holy city, New Jerusalem. Okay, it is perpetual. Again, from the ripple to the wave to the tsunami. Okay, the holy city, New Jerusalem, being the completion. Okay, in this sign, okay, that all the daughters of faith, even during the millennium, when they bear, okay, will feel no pain. Okay, but they also will bear to God Himself. Okay, and it's in the verse 50, "And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation." Okay, we see the perpetualness of this. Now let's go back to Galatians chapter 4, and we'll move on a little faster. But we can see that also Isaiah understood these things of Christ, which the Apostle Paul is gleaning from, the book of Revelation, Revelation and Isaiah. Okay, so we go on here, verse 27. Okay, for it is written, he says, "Rejoice, you barren that bear not, okay, and break forth and cry, you that travail not." Now, interesting, underline the word travail not. So get your highlighter, okay, either yellow or green or blue, whatever the color of your choice here, and highlight the word travail not. Now, the Virgin Mary bringing forth the Lord Jesus, our Lord Jesus, did not travail. Okay, she did not travail, as Isaiah also prophesied, okay, concerning that this travailing is going to be something that's going to be very unique. This was assigned to this was the first assignment, okay, or its first revelation was really given to Eve, okay, that she would bring forth children of light, okay, for Adam, that this world would be filled with children of light. Now that's going to happen during the third covenant, okay, and it's also going to happen again even during the ninth week, the millennium of Jesus Christ, that children of light would be born of the daughters of the holy ones. Okay, who will not travail. The travail was only assigned to the sin. It was not assigned to the righteous. It was only assigned to the to that which is the sinner, okay, to Eve, after she committed treason against the Lord, okay, trying to take the shortcut of the promise of the flesh. So we see that she travailed not, okay, and also the holy city, New Jerusalem, will not travail. Okay, and we go on to verse 27 here. "For the desolate has many more children than she that has a husband. Those which are assigned to temporal things, all right, also incur pain. But those which are assigned to eternal things do not travail." Okay, our travailing of the fruit of God, okay, is not that of the flesh, but that of the Spirit. Okay, and the travailing of the Spirit has to do with the circumcision of the heart right now, brings forth the vessels of the temple of the Lord, which is in us right now. We're bringing forth the vessels, okay, the things of this portion, okay, unto the Lord, okay, which has to do with the virtues of Christ, okay, the gifts, the callings, the graces of God, prayer, preaching, prophecy, government, truth, and spirit, okay, are these portions of the temple which we're filling each chamber with, okay, so that our reward, okay, will be manifold, okay, at the time of the rewarding. In the time of rewarding, okay, Lord rewards us according to our labor, according to our fruits. Okay, now verse 28. Now notice how the Apostle Paul is joining us, okay, with this promise. Okay, we show us the perpetualness of this. Okay, that which was prophesied, okay, in Isaac is also prophesied in us, in its fulfillment. Okay, in the next stages of that, the wave, Isaac being the ripple, okay, and we being the wave, but Christ is a tsunami. Okay, but we, brethren, as Isaac was. Okay, well, my name isn't Isaac, and your name isn't Isaac. Okay, as concerning the being a direct descendant of Abraham. Okay, but you notice that he assigned us this prophecy. Okay, that we are on, okay, the rebel tracks. Okay, of this fulfillment. Okay, we are riding in the coach. Okay, of the train. Okay, as we continue to progress toward that destiny, the holy city, New Jerusalem. Okay, now we, the Apostle Paul including us in this promise, brethren, as Isaac was, or what? The children of promise. Okay, we're the children of promise because we're to see this prophecy to completion. Okay, we bear in our temples the Son of God as Mary, born in her physical body, the Son of God, by the word, the voice of the Lord through Gabriel. Okay, Gabriel, an archangel. Okay, as Mary, and by the Spirit, Mary, and by the Spirit we see His throne, as also Mary, by the Spirit. Okay, because what did the angel say? Okay, I just came forth from the presence of God. Okay, I came out from the presence of the court, of the throne of the Lord. Okay, so you see the tethering. The tethering of her faith, okay, was to the throne. Michael or Gabriel, okay, I came forth from the presence of God. I am the angel of His presence. I bring forth the knowledge of His kingdom. Through this knowledge, we have a window into the soul of God. And so these prophecies are a window into the soul of God. Okay, as God also has a window in us by faith. Okay, because by the eye of faith, okay, because God has given us grace, by the eye of faith we see the eye that sees us. For I see Him that sees me. But we know that Hagar, even when God intervened in order to keep promise to her concerning Ishmael, she just says, she called the place Beersheba, saying these things. He says, I do not perceive Him that sees me, but we, being children of faith, see Him that sees us. So we see eye to eye. Okay, all those who received the gospel of good tidings, okay, see eye to eye as a watchman on the wall. Isaiah 52 brings that out. As a watchman on the wall, we see eye to eye. Those of grace are also able to identify those of grace. Okay, as the Apostle Paul says, but he that is spiritual understands all things, sees all things. Now verse 29. Okay, so we can see this is a perpetual prophecy. The Apostle Paul was building upon the revelation which the Apostle John received, being taken into the presence of the Lord, okay, and seeing things, even unspeakable things, things that could not be spoken of. Okay, and we kind of wonder, what is the mystery of all that, the things which cannot be spoken of? Okay, well, what was it the Apostle John heard that he could not tell anybody? Okay, or could not be recorded, even though he did share it. Okay, he shared it with the chief apostles, who also shared it with the other apostles. What was it the Apostle John heard that he could not share with the other apostles? That which the seven thunders uttered. Why were there seven thunders? Okay, because it represents the plan of God unfolded, okay, through the 7 days of the week. Okay, concerning the rhythm of the Spirit and this mystery of Christ would be fulfilled, okay, as we see in the book of Revelation, when the Lord said, "It is done." Okay, then the heavens and the earth rejoice because there's equity now, okay, and all darkness has been removed. Okay, that's what the seven thunders uttered, okay, which the Apostle John heard, and he was about to write it down, but the Lord says, "Don't write that down yet." Okay, but at the time of its fulfillment, you know, the tracks have already been laid. Okay, but the time of its fulfillment, it will be known. Okay, because the whole earth will hear. Okay, now verse 29. But as then, okay, he that was born after the flesh. Okay, now when he says born of the flesh, okay, let's carry this to one point further here. He's talking about the moral code. Okay, not just the skin of the body. Okay, but that the powers which are impacting, okay, the movement of the flesh, okay, the goals of the flesh, okay, the moral code. Iniquity can conceal itself within a moral code, but it cannot conceal itself in faith, okay, because faith is like a window, okay, the window. The faith is as a window of the conscience, okay, and those that walk by faith, their conscience is purged and clean, okay, and it's only those who walk by faith that are accepted of God. These are the children of liberty. Okay, these are the just, and they live by this power. The just shall live by faith, because we live by that power. Okay, whereas the eye of the Lord sees in us no iniquity, as God also prophesied over Israel. When He prophesied this over Israel, He spoke through the lips of the unclean, even as Balaam. Okay, and because He beholds no iniquity in Jacob, He beheld no iniquity in them, because this now they have went through the time of their purging of 40 years in the wilderness, and now He is beholding no iniquity among them, because they were all following government, truth and spirit. Okay, these were children of faith. Okay, and all those that walk by faith, okay, their conscience, okay, reflects that of the throne, pure, holy, and without blemish, without spot and blemish. This is the condition of the hearts of the saints. Okay, whereas when the Lord comes to receive us to himself, okay, in the first rapture, the second rapture, and at time also at the completion of the ages, okay, all those that that carry this testimony, the testimony of the Holy Spirit in the conscience, okay, are called sons of God, and we receive the reward of that. Okay, so now here we see the word flesh. You might want to highlight that word flesh there. Again, you can take your magic marker and highlight the word flesh. When he speaks of the word flesh here, in verse 29, he's talking about the moral code. Okay, those that carry forth the moral code are as whom? As Hagar. Okay, being children of Hagar, okay, these are those which are continually projecting for promise. But we which are of children of faith, okay, are walking in that promise. And there's a difference in that. Those which are severed of the oath continually project outcome. Okay, those which are severed from the oath of the Lord continually project the outcome. These are people that are carrying the testimony of iniquity within them, so they continually confess their sins before God. Those that continually confess their sins, shortcomings, and frailty, or offenses, okay, before the Most High, all right, continually bear forth the image of death unto death. These are those which continually try to rectify, okay, and bring, resolution, okay, to the struggles of the conscience. They're trying to bring a resolution to the struggles of the conscience by projecting with scripture or precept. Okay, outcome. They put themselves on the journey. Okay. Those that put themselves on the journey of promise will never enter into the fullness of the inheritance. And they never will, because they bear in their soul the image of death. Okay, but those which are children of the oath, okay, those which walk by faith, we continually bear the image of Christ within us, okay, which is the virtue of his fruit. Okay. We are the children of promise, the true children of promise, as Isaac was. Okay. Isaac was not extrapolating, okay, being a son of Abraham. Isaac wasn't extrapolating being a son of Abraham. He was a son of Abraham. How can you sever that? Okay, and because he was a son of Abraham, okay, he entered into the oath which God swore to Abraham, and that tethered him to the throne, which makes him a child of promise, which we are. So then, but as then, he says, notice the words he uses, verse 28, and now we, okay, and as but as then, see the language he's using right here is helping us make this discernment. Okay, and helping us make this discernment, okay, we can see that those which bear in their bosom the moral code will never enter in the kingdom of God. They may see the kingdom of God as all those at the time of the great white throne judgment. They will see the beauty of the Lord. They will behold the beauty of the Lord. They will see the reward, okay, as concerning the bow of the Shekinah put within us and on us, okay, as representing Christ, they being children of the Most High, but they will never have the bow of that peace upon them, okay, because they carry within them the testimony of death. The image of Satan still is imprinted upon their conscience. So verse 29, but as then he that was born after the flesh, so I highlight the word flesh there, moral code, persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. See how Paul shows the perpetualness of the ripple, the wave, and the tsunami. So, even as now, you see, in the breach of darkness, they carry the testimony of death. But why do they persecute the righteous? Why is it that they find that they find pleasure within that? Because those that carry within them the moral code, okay, they want self-determination to own their own logic. They want self-determination to own their own logic. Now, Jesus said the same thing to his apostles. If they have persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Okay, if they kept my sayings, they'll keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Okay, you notice how Jesus said that. Okay, Jesus was showing them their connection. You are connected to me because I am the true oath, pure oath of God. I created everything by the fingers of my own hand, because I am the strength of the Lord, as been prophesied by all the prophets, the arm of the Lord, the hand of the Lord, okay, and also the head, okay, as he talks about, okay, that the government is upon his shoulders. See, you see all these all these body parts are assigned a certain description, okay, of his powers, okay, the head and the shoulders, okay, the arm and the hand. Even his feet being as a fire of bronze, okay, upon him, which shows that everything that he is of another dimension, okay, that dimension of fire. That's why we have to carry the fire of his kingdom within our own soul, which was first issued to us at the time of our baptism, not the baptism of water, okay, not of the baptism of perishable things, okay, but the baptism of fire. Okay, the baptism that God has assigned to us to reflect him with, okay, and the language of the angels, and the language and the tongue of the cherubim, okay, and also the words are the archons. Okay, these things God has assigned to us to reflect him with, okay, because water bears the image of man, but fire only bears the image of God. Okay, for our God is a consuming fire. But here, he says here, but as then he that was born after the flesh, the moral code, because the moral code wants self-determination to own their own logic. Okay, but we bear in our own bosom the marks of Christ. Okay, as Paul said, okay, we bear in us the marks of Christ. Okay, and so because we bear the marks of Christ, we have the foundation of truth laid within the heart. The foundation of truth will continually challenge, okay, the logic of the moral code. It was a logic of the moral code, which when I say logic of the moral code is that people will slice and dice that which they feel, okay, is beneficial for their own honor. Okay, slice and dice. Okay, that's an expression. Okay, it's like, you know, you take a piece of cake and you divide that cake up, or a piece of pie and divide that piece of pie up. Okay, or a portion of a meal. Okay, they take what's desirable for themselves. Okay, and for their own, you know, for their own energy. Okay, but here we're talking about as forms of knowledge. They want to slice and dice the forms of knowledge of the precept, okay, in order to receive the honor of man. Okay, or to give substance to their own righteousness, which is self righteousness, the righteousness which is of the law. Okay, the righteousness of the law, okay, is far beneath that of the righteousness of Christ. And that's why Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of God. Well, how can our righteousness possibly exceed that of those of that covenant who had access, okay, to the, you know, to the best philosophy and teachings and the best universities, okay, and not only that, we're assigned duties even in the temple. How can we even come even close to that? Well, Jesus is the one that made distinction of that. That was just the righteousness of the law, okay? The righteousness of the law, okay, which is death, okay? You know, the righteousness of the law had its restrictions only in that covenant. Your righteousness has to exceed that of the moral code, okay? Because the moral code, okay, is just a makeover, okay, of the, or you say, not just a makeover, but it's a, okay, it's like plastic fruit. Okay, plastic fruit. It's like things that you buy in a store, okay, to decorate your house with, but not to consume. Okay, and people like to decorate the moral code with plastic fruit. Okay, or like painting images on the wall. Okay, they could paint a picture of an apple on a wall, okay, to give decor to the home. Okay, but it's not going to benefit their body any. Okay, it's a benefit of the eye. Okay, which is really a deception of the eye. Okay, the fruit of unrighteousness, okay, is a deception to the eye, because it looks like something that's promising but doesn't deliver, as the Apostle Jude says, as dry wells. These are wells without water, okay, the Apostle Jude brings out. Okay, wells without water, which means their presence is promising, okay, but the reality, okay, you see, is very disappointing. Is disappointing. They labor for nothing. It's just a dry well. And so is their fruit. Okay, there is no nourishment in lead paint. Okay, when you paint it on a wall or painting on a canvas. Okay, those are the moral code, just bare plastic fruit. Okay, and as an appeal of godliness, but possesses no power. The angel of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord does not empower that knowledge which they are embracing for the purpose of projecting a righteousness and godliness about themselves, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Titus 1, 15-16. So, as then, Paul says, same thing he said in Titus, he that was born after the flesh, okay, the mortal will persecute him that was born after the Spirit, so even so it is now. Those that carried the darkness in their own heart carried the breach of condemnation. The darkness is a breach of condemnation. Darkness cannot enter into light. Only light can enter into light. That's why we have to bear the testimony of Christ within us, the likeness of the throne, okay, which is faith, to enter into that promise, even to enter into the holy city. Nothing can enter into the holy city, as the scriptures say, that that is of a lie. That means that possesses a different record other than what God assigned for our faith to be completed with. Okay, that's also the Apostle Paul brings out about the deceitfulness of sin. Why is sin so deceitful? If it can be seen with a carnal eye, how could it be deceitful? Because it can't be perceived with a carnal eye. The mystery of iniquity is concealed in the moral code. Okay, and it expresses itself, its sentimentality, is with the passions of man. Okay, it continually sympathizes with Adam's passion, which has to do with his own fears and his own goals. So how can people perceive that when they feel that that's good? Okay, because they look at all things that proceed from the moral code as good. Okay, we're not talking about morality, we're talking about the moral code. But, of course, morality is expressed through that, which is the moral center, which has to do with the selection of certain knowledge and association, also determines one's morals, one's morality, which is also birthed on the moral code. But also, the Thomistic law is a child of the moral code, too. You see how iniquity conceals itself, that's called the mystery of iniquity, does already work. Okay, only he who now lets will it until he be taken out of the way. Its powers and its expressions and its author and its father, which is Satan. And when it's removed, so also will those powers be removed. Now, verse 3, nevertheless, what says the scripture? Okay, the scripture foresaw this. Cast out the bondwoman and her son. You have to remove the breach, he says. And that breach is only removed by faith, which is the true bridge. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir, but the son of the free woman. Okay, because the free woman is the true bridge. So the true bridge is not of the flesh, but of the spirit, but of God. Okay, but how can we possibly identify the true bridge from the false bridge? Okay, well, we can see that right here in verse 31. Okay, as he brings this out, the Apostle Paul is going to help us to identify that the true bridge is that with the priesthood, after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, so the Lord assigned the Melchizedek priesthood to Jesus Christ, which will make it perpetual. Okay? And all those that be joined to him would carry on the same mannerism, same behavior. Okay? So if we carry on the behavior of the throne, then we have an advocate. Okay? And we have propitiation for our sins, right? Because we're keeping his commandments. Now those who do not keep the commandments of the Lord, which has to do with the order activity of this covenant, do not have propitiation for their sins because the advocate cannot stand on their behalf. Okay, the advocate only stands on the behalf of those who are functioning, keeping his commandments. When we keep his commandments, which means we're ordering our behavior according to policy and procedure of the court. Okay, and our Lord teaches us, as is also instructed to Aaron by Moses. It was Moses that taught Aaron the behavior of the court. And this tradition was to be carried forth from one generation to the next generation forever. Okay, that there's only forgiveness of sins. The atonement is only made by proper behavior, which is of faith. Proper sacrifices, washing of the hands and the feet, the downing on the garments, the removing of all things that associated them with the world, and only putting on those things which associate us with God. Okay, which has to do the vestments of the priesthood, in which are concealed many types and shadows. But the types and shadows are not the mystery of Christ. The mystery of Christ is the work of regeneration, not the types and shadows. Okay, but the types and shadows help us to understand concerning the ministry of Jesus. But it's the work of regeneration that unfolds this mystery, because the impact of the Spirit gives us this experience to unfold it with. The key is the Spirit. So then, brethren, we are not of the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So even so now today, he says, so then, even so now today, we see death upon the cycles of growth. Okay, we see death upon the cycles of growth, but it's the circumcision. Okay, what we're talking about, and Paul's going to bring this out here in a moment. The circumcision of death. Okay, Christ is removing from us all those things which work death within us. Okay, when death accompanied our first perspective, and we behaved according to sin, okay, which we are in bondage to, okay, Satan nurtured, okay, all kinds of philosophic things within us, our aspirations, our goals, okay, our fears, our desires, okay, the being the honor of men. Satan nurtured those things which were death, which we thought to be sweet in life. Okay, but those things which we didn't taste it of at that point of time when we thought was sweet, okay, we know what it really is. It's called shame, bitterness, wormwood. In fact, that's one of the judgments that we see in the book of Revelation chapter 8. Okay, one of the first judgments there, one of the first three, okay, we see wormwood, okay, which has to do with the spoilage of knowledge of this world. False knowledge is as wormwood. Okay, it brings unto death. Okay, so death accompanied those cycles of our growth. Okay, being the children of the bondwoman, okay, the flesh and the breach, but of the free. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, because those of faith carry the bridge of promise. Okay, what is that bridge of promise? Well, it's the activity of the priesthood. This priesthood which God has assigned to us after the form of Melchizedek, okay, is that of faith which can continually keeps us tethered to the oath of the Lord, which by this title we're called sons of God. Only because we're tethered to Him, we're called sons of God. Okay, we're called sons of God because we keep His commandments. We have the propitiation for our sins. Okay, because we are in the presence of the Lord according to proper procedure. Therefore, He is our advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Okay? So now, in chapter 5, we continue on here. Stand fast. This is the point of your confidence. What is the point of our confidence? Your priesthood. Your priesthood, which finds full expression through the government of God, okay, which Paul brings out in Ephesians 1. Okay? His fullness, okay, the fullness of Him, which is an all in all. The fullness of Him, which is an all-in-all, has to do with all things He provided for our spiritual growth. The gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy. These tools are of great necessity for the perfection of His work, and for the work which has to do with the cleansing of the conscience. The unpurged conscience accesses carnal things. That's why the conscience is not purged. It's working with things that are contaminated. How can your conscience be cleansed with unclean things? It can't. So the Lord says, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Okay, when he says come out, it's because He's issued grace for this knowledge. Okay, but we are coming out from one thing into something else. That's the transition of the church today. They have to come out from Babylon, spiritual Babylon. Okay, whose perspective is ordered according to the course of this world, wanting and desiring the wealth of the Gentiles. Okay, whereas God has said, you shall not covet after their things, nor desire their wealth. Don't desire their philosophy or their things, okay, because they will contaminate the soul, okay, as the prophet said to the children of Israel. So stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, which is the circumcision of Christ. Okay, we know that when Christ came in the first to eighth week, He came with also the knowledge of dissolution. Okay, so you might want to make a note on that. The knowledge of dissolution accompanies every week. Every new week brings the knowledge of dissolution. When Jesus came, He removed the Sabbath day from the order of time into the fullness of Himself. When Jesus came, He removed the tithe from the temple to the tithe of the prophecy in Himself. Okay, that all things which are spoken of that law were now coming into Him. There was a form of dissolution, which really infuriated the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, because they molded, okay, a tradition of righteousness, okay, by these things of the precept. Okay, they used a precept to lend support to their own moral code, okay, which was works of death. And they wanted to own, they wanted ownership of that logic. They don't want any intrusion by any other man, including this person called Jesus of Nazareth. He brought dissolution when he went into walked to the fields on the Sabbath day, and his disciples were running, rubbing the ears of corn. Okay, and they and he brought dissolution. Okay, when he also talked to a Samaritan woman, why do you talk to her? That's what they said. Why are you talking with that woman? Okay, don't you know what our law says is concerning the laws of separation? Okay, why are you touching that carcass, seeing that you have the vow of the Nazarite upon you? Okay, and why is it that you're eating and drinking with these people, seeing you have the vow of the Nazarite upon you, which forbids the drinking of any of these portions, okay, of wine and meats, and your company that you choose? Okay, he brought dissolution with him. And this right here was a point of conflict between him and the Pharisees, and also the accusations that he brought before Pilate. Okay, that this man breaks the Sabbath day. Okay, so the dissolution of false contact points. Okay, Christ brought it, and this is what's taking place in the second eighth week. Okay, the dissolution of all former traditions have to be severed in order for your faith made perfect. The dissolution of false contact points remove the flesh. Okay, remove the flesh. Those things not tethered to the oath of promise. Okay, all things that are tethered, okay, to the flesh are not tethered to the throne. All things tethered to the flesh are tethered to darkness and death. Okay, so stand fast. Don't remove your foot from this place of confidence. Okay, the confidence of your priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, the order of Melchizedek, a new knowledge and a new baptism, a baptism of knowledge that cleanses the soul and provides faith for your expression and fellowship and relationship with God. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ, that of the Spirit, that of that which is of the seventh heaven, the throne of God, has made us free. Free of what? Okay, you see that? See, underline that in verse 5 there, the word free, or not verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1. So you can get your highlighter there and underline the word free. Okay, when a lot of people say Jesus has made me free, they're always in references as concerning, okay, the personal habits. Okay, but Christ, it's not what he's talking about right here. Where it has made us free, okay, the freedom right here has to do with the free of expression. Okay, the free of expression, okay, which means it's not burdened by anything of this dimension. As Paul said in Colossians, touch not, taste not, handle not, which perish for the using, after the doctrines and commandments of men, which things indeed have a show of wisdom and will worship and humility, okay, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to satisfying of the flesh. Okay, which means they're using carnal things, they're trying to bring about holiness. But holiness is not in carnal things, holiness is in spiritual things. So that we must touch those things which God sanctified for our faith to be made perfect. Be you holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord, as the Apostle Peter said. So stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, where Christ has made us free. A new priesthood, new points of contact, okay, new tools, okay, a new dawning, okay, which has to do with this priesthood. The priesthood of Melchizedek has been lost, okay, during the time of darkness in the sixth week, but now it's being restored in the second eighth week. Okay, as we're now, this is the liberty of Christ. We are now free from those things, okay, which kept us, okay, and you can say in the perspective and behavior, okay, of death. Okay, and being not entangled again, he says to the Galatians, with the yoke of bondage. Now that yoke of bondage is what he enumerates there, okay, as concerning in chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, okay, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently crucified, set forth crucified among you. Seeing that Jesus has put aside, okay, the powers of the flesh, whereas Satan found expression through, he gave us a new hope by his resurrection. Okay, and he's provided us in this hope, whereas we are tethered to, and this oath which we are working with, okay, the oath of the Lord, we are now made free. So therefore, if we're made free, let's walk as children of the free man, okay, the children, okay, of the holy city, New Jerusalem, not those which are in bondage, but those which have the true freedom of his justification.